Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 15. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Amen. Good evening and welcome back to the weekend edition of Let the Bible Speak. And my name is Pastor Paul Backhurst and I'm your host for the weekend edition. I'm also the Minister of the Gospel at our Calgary Northeast congregation here in Pine Ridge. If you joined us again for the second part of the weekend edition, then you know that we've been looking at Cain. Cain as the first apostate, the first that falls away from public and family confession or profession of religion. And we're examining verses 3 to 15 of Genesis chapter 4, which you've already heard read out at the top of the program. And with this second part of the weekend edition, we're looking at the last two points in this message. So we've already seen his self-centered religion and then his self-righteous anger. And now we're looking finally at his self-obsession and then his self-preservation. And as we open up the Word of God, we will be seeing much of what the motivation was and what the Lord truly says about Cain and about this curse and the mark on Cain itself. But also consider what all of this means for you and for your own soul. So let us now go to our pulpit here in Calgary Free Presbyterian Church and hear the concluding message of Cain, the first apostate.
Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
His self-centered religion, his self-righteous anger, thirdly brings us to his self-obsession. His self-obsession. Let's see that in verse 8, because he ignores the word of God. Cain has now decided to ignore the word of God as God preaches to him and reasons with him directly. And it says in verse 8, And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So we see firstly Cain's revenge. We can speculate greatly about what Cain said to Abel. It says, and he talked with Abel his brother, but we could fill it in, and a lot of it would be speculation. Some of it would be decent speculation. But what we can say at least is this. It certainly had something to do with getting Abel away from the family home, away from the family farm, somewhere out in the fields to be alone with his brother. That seems to be his intention. And so it wouldn't be far wrong to think, well, that's what he's talking about. Maybe, you know, I've
I found a lamb fallen down a ditch. Come on, let's, probably one of yours. Come on, let's go and get it. Whatever it might have been. In any case, we see that is his intention. Because it came to pass that when they were in the field, it was his opportunity to take that hate-filled revengeance against his own little brother. And that expression, Cain rose up against, it means to attack someone violently. To attack violently is what that expression means and is used elsewhere in the scriptures. An army rises up against another army. It's not to go out to shake hands and exchange phone numbers. It's to attack each other violently, and it's an expression that's used in many other languages as well. See, but you see they're the fruits of hatred. The fruit of hatred. So he's angry, and then it's led to hatred, and now to the death of his brother. Because hatred is a strong and most often a sinful urge, and has led to many of the wicked deeds that are in the world today. Just look around how much is based upon hate. Hatred of the other person. You might say, well, that stealing from someone is not hatred. It is. It's hatred of their good. They've worked hard. They've got this thing. That's their business. And yet you show no love to them. You don't love them. But you'll go behind their back and you will just steal from them. And if you have to hurt them in the process, so be it. Hatred is a lack of love. And how much of a lack of love is in the world? Because the world is filled with violence and hatred and anger. And hatred and murder are very closely linked in the scriptures. The Apostle John in his first epistle in chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Because of course, hatred is murder of the heart, as is looking with lust is adultery of the heart. You must have one before you have the other. And once Cain had committed this murder, had killed his little brother, and as we looked at last week, maybe a couple of minutes, it may be a couple of months, but it's still his own blood, his own brother. Once he'd committed that murder, the Lord speaks audibly to Cain, and we see Cain's response. Because the Lord had already warned Cain of sin's tempting power. And now he calls upon Cain. He's not abandoned Cain, not yet. But he now calls upon Cain to confess and to pray to him. To have communication with him. His prayer is always prayer. Communication between the creature and the creator. And then he poses again a simple question. Where is Abel thy brother? Where is he? Of course the Lord knows. But he's trying to draw him out into confession. Imagine then if Cain, by God's grace, said, Lord, I've killed him. I was angry. I lost control and fell down on his knees sobbing. Do we see that here? No. What we do get is Cain lying directly to God. He lies. I know not. Liar. He lies. He knew. And then Cain adds to this such a despising, such a almost a mocking cry. And that's the cry of every sinner since. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I to look after my brother? Am I to be concerned with the welfare of my brother? He's got his life, I've got my life. Well, now the answer to that, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes, absolutely. If mankind was to realize, and he won't because it's so full of sin and cursing, but if mankind was to understand this, yes, you are your brother's keeper, what a difference that would make to the world. But it won't because sin has not been dealt with. Unbelief has not been dealt with in all the world, except by those that put their trust in Jesus Christ. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. No man is an island. No couple is an island. No family is an island. No nation is an island. We all have that responsibility to care for each other. The law of Moses confirms that. He says, thou shalt not avenge. In fact, this verse from Leviticus 19 and verse 18 is very applicable to the whole of this passage. Thou shalt not avenge, Cain. You should have read Leviticus. Okay, it wasn't revealed at that time. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Do you have thoughts of avenging, revenge? Do you hold grudges against the people of God? Well, here's the command that says don't. Again, that warning command that you do not allow that anger to come in, because that anger will lead to hate. But thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I am the Lord. Now you might thought, oh, I thought that was a New Testament commandment. No, it's a New Testament repetition of an Old Testament commandment. To love thy neighbour as thyself. But Cain shows a remarkable lack of repentance. He's just killed his own brother. And no doubt, you could just imagine him, you know, with hands still stained with blood. Maybe he's still holding that stone that he used to crush his skull. Who knows how he did it? But he shows absolutely no remorse. He shows no sorrow towards God. He doesn't mention, oh, I've taken away my parents' son. Just think of the grief of my mom and dad. Not at all. And we see God's retribution in verses 11 and 12. And he says, Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. It's interesting where Cain's lips are silent about his crime. His brother's blood calls out unto heaven, unto God for justice. Now, obviously, we're not suggesting for a moment that it's an audible voice, that this blood that spills into the earth suddenly has a mouth to call out. That's not the case, but it's that God, who saw the horrific attack, who sees the stain of blood, knows that justice demands his righteous judgment. Justice demands the judgment of God. And so we see the judgment of God, a very righteous judgment, a very appropriate judgment, because Cain, who is the tiller of the ground, who brought unacceptable offerings from the produce of the ground to God, a bloodless sacrifice, he's now cursed from the earth, which he had stained with his own brother's blood. Such a righteous judgment, so a specific and personal judgment to Cain for Cain's sin. And so it is. That's how God deals with sinners. Nobody will ever be in the everlasting lake of hell burning for their wickedness, which has never changed. They're still blaspheming God for eternity. They're never going to suffer more than they deserve. And they will never suffer less than. They will get exactly what is suited to them. And people, if you know anything of your own heart, you know that's a terrible truth. How much the heart and the mind and the emotions, the feelings, the deeds and the actions have been against God since your birth. Notice that the earth itself is not cursed. It's already been cursed with the fall of man. It's not cursed. Cain is cursed. Cain himself is cursed. And God will no longer bless his farming efforts. He won't grant him even rest to settle down and to start a farm. We do see that he builds a city. But there's no settling down to start a farm, to be a tiller of the ground, to do that job that he wanted to do that work that the Lord had determined for Adam, his father. He will be a fugitive and a vagabond. What is a fugitive? A fugitive is somebody who's always on the run. And a vagabond is someone who's really homeless. A homeless person. So he has no peace and he has no rest. And the Lord says that in Isaiah 48 and 22. He says it elsewhere also. He says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And here we have that primary example. And why is he wicked? Because he will not repent of his wickedness. So there is always that chance that he can fall on his knees before God and repent, truly repent. Not just say the word sorry, because we know children say sorry all the time, but they do not mean the words repentance. We know that even grown people can say, oh yeah, I'm really sorry, but it's all a mask inside. They just want you to shut up. No, but true repentance, a true sorrow, a true turning away. But he doesn't. There is therefore no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Cain is the child of Satan spiritually. And it's become even more like the devil, because this description of him being a vagabond, of being a fugitive, is a similar description as Satan gives of himself in Job chapter 1. In verse 7 of chapter 1 of Job, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Having been cast out of heaven, we see there he is himself, Satan, a fugitive and a vagabond. Some professing believers can also be fugitives and vagabonds in the sense of going from church to church, never settling down, never contributing to the long-term health and the wealth of a congregation, but going from place to place, never finding rest, because you will never find the church that will tick all 147 of your boxes. But do they preach the gospel? Do they believe the Lord and do they fear the Lord? That is very, very important. And are they, like Abel, seeking to worship the Lord God according to his word, and not like Cain with a self-righteous man-made religion? So he's a vagabond, he is a fugitive. So we've seen his self-centered religion, his self-righteous anger, his self-obsession, and we finish with his self-preservation. You're getting the impression it's all about Cain, yes. His self-preservation, we read in verse 13, we see his complaint. Verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain is unable to escape God's righteous judgment and curse, and yet he does not humble himself under it. Rather, he's complaining. I would suggest there's at least two complaints that he makes against the Lord. He says this, it declares that God's punishment is too much for him. Now, we've just looked at that. No, God's punishment is so tailor-made for this crime and for this criminal. And then he carries on to complain in verse 14. He says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. As if he's an innocent party in this? As if his crime had nothing to do with him being driven away from mankind and from the face of God? He didn't want communion with God, so God grants him his wish. Although God never said that he would be driven from his face. Cain says that. Wishful thinking in Cain's case. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. So God's fault in some way, that he's driven from the cultivated fields of the family farm, the first farm land ever. It's God's fault that he's driven from God's presence. It's God's fault that he could become a victim of revenge of any of his brothers and sisters if they found him. Again, there's just an absolute lack of sorrow for what he's done. He's steadfastly unrepentant, and he thinks only of preserving his own skin. This is what Cain is really focused on in these verses, saving his own skin, but not his soul. Saving his skin, but not a care for his soul. His heart and his conscience is so hardened to the need of having his soul saved. And so he's to go away, still under God's wrath and curse, and filled with the fear of man. You see how he is the opposite in so many ways. Filled with the fear of man, no fear of God before his eyes, but the fear of man. Fear of man in spite of the testimony of his mum and dad, of Adam and Eve, in spite of their teaching, in spite of the words of exhortation of God, Cain becomes an apostate. That is, he turns away, he rejects the true religion, is what the word an apostate means. He left the church of mum and dad here. And it would appear from what we understand from Scripture, as much as is spoken of him, that he never repented, he never sought peace with God. And so that apostasy, that turning away from the truth of God, becomes in his case, shows him to be a reprobate. What is a reprobate? A reprobate is somebody who is literally disapproved of God, just like his sacrifice. Disapproved of God. And that points to the fact that he is rejected from all the ways, from the way of salvation. Because Cain did not love the Lord his God with all his heart and his soul and his strength and his mind. Cain loved himself with all his heart and his soul and his strength and his mind. And he didn't love his neighbor or his brother like himself. So we see his complaint, but we still see God's compassion. God's compassion in Genesis 4 in verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So the Lord acknowledges that there is a danger to Cain's life. But there's also more so, there's a danger of further bloodshed. So we'd have revenge taken upon him for killing Abel. But then another family member might take revenge upon them for killing Cain. And so you would have death upon death. You would have a vendetta being built up and started here between the children of Adam and Eve. So the Lord's compassion is therefore more to mankind in general and not specifically to Cain, but it is also to Cain. And the Lord declares this. He declares a sevenfold vengeance upon any who would dare to take vengeance, and who would dare to kill Cain. Why? Well, vengeance is of the Lord. It's the Lord's right. Now, the number seven may refer to the number of deaths that would be involved. If anyone would kill Cain, he would be killed and six of their family. It might be using the word seven as in a complete judgment, a complete vengeance, a full vengeance, both in this life and in next, would be wrought in that person. But we do know this, he does set a mark upon Cain to set him apart. And it may have been some name, some word on his forehead, it may have been some mark, we don't know. It just says the word is sign. It's the same word that's used to describe the function of the stars in Genesis chapter 1, that they will be as signs. The same word. It's a sign in some way upon him. I quite fancy the idea of the word accursed or something like that. Unclean. Who knows what the exact mark was? We don't know. But it was only upon him. It was upon Cain. There's no mention here that it's upon him and his offspring. It didn't survive him. It didn't, and his offspring didn't survive the flood anyway. So there is no mark of Cain around today. It certainly wouldn't point, as has been pointed to, somebody's skin colour or their wandering style. So black people have been called having the mark of Cain. Absolute nonsense. Or Romani, the gypsies, they're wandering and fugitives and vagabonds. Therefore, they are wearing the mark of Cain. Rubbish. To this one man, he is responsible to God for his sin and he will bear it. He is not the head of a covenant as Adam was. Like all of us, we will be held accountable for our own sin before God. And so whatever this mark was, it was only personally attached to him and died with him. So in closing then, we have seen in Cain how man-made religion is rejected by God. And yet the earth is full of it. We've also seen how Cain hated his brother's faith and his brother's acceptance with God, that there was a despising of true religion. We've also seen how anger unchecked has led to hate, and then that hate has led to murder. And we've been confronted with this very truth that all about Cain, that unrepented sin leads to a hardened heart, and that a hardened heart before the Lord has terrible consequences, both now and for all eternity. What Cain should have done, and we've said it before, he should have obeyed the word of God. God had told him, "Man, thou knowest what is good, do it." Cain should have repented of that false worship. He should have repented of his anger towards God. He should have turned that hate into love, and to love the Lord his God, and to love Abel his brother. And the question that goes forth then as you apply it personally is, have you repented of your own soul-destroying sin? Are you going to learn the lesson of the lesson of Cain and not follow it? Are you going to learn the good lesson of Abel and follow that? Do what Abel did and not what Cain did? Will you obey the word of God that goes forth? Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, or mind? Or will you choose, like Cain, to retain a sin-hardened heart, an unbelieving heart, and receive an eternal mark yourself? An eternal mark, reprobate, unaccepted, unloved, unsprinkled by the blood of Jesus. Because that's what Cain did. Essentially, in rejecting a blood sacrifice, he rejects Christ. As I said, you may not know all these details, but this is in much to understand, that you bring an offer for your sin, and you do that out of obedience and love and faith towards God, because those 4,000 years later, there would be that sacrifice. But they didn't have to know all those details. They just had to trust and obey, to know that there was no other way to be happy with God. And so, having rejected the blood sacrifice, the cursing that he'd had for his own sin only got worse. That curse, and you need to have your curse dealt with. The curse that you have for your own sin and your own unbelief, you need that Saviour to remove that curse. And there is one Saviour, just one. Galatians 3 and verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So you need a Saviour who gives a blood sacrifice, who hangs on a tree upon the wood of Calvary for your sins. Not for his own, for he has none, but for your sins. And then you must come like Abel, trusting and obeying, repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the promise of the Scriptures, and you shall be saved. Amen. Let us close in prayer and receive the benediction of our God. Our Lord, we give thee thanks. We see the horrors of an unrepentant and hardened heart. Oh Lord, how terrible it is not to have grace to have touched a soul. We rejoice, Lord, when we see Abel, a short but godly life, Lord, as an example, that first example given in Hebrews 11, he who is saved by faith, a hero of the faith, as it were. Lord, may it please thee to work faith in our hearts who have no faith. Therefore, we may have that forgiveness of all our sins, that we might have peace with God, that we have a home in heaven, that we be not eternally fugitives and vagabonds. That we may know Jesus Christ as our own Saviour, he that became a curse for us, that we may know the forgiveness and the love and the righteousness of God. Lord, these things are thy work for young and old, even today, in this meeting place, Lord, and even those listening and watching online. Wilt thou have mercy and glorify the Saviour as the Redeemer, even of those who will be pulled out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of heaven, even today. Lord, do thy work to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the benediction of our triune God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
I'd now like to play you a piece of music, and it is the classic hymn called "Now Thank We All Our God." That was originally a German hymn written by a man called Martin Rinkart. It is sung for us by the youth choir that was put together by the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, which is a radio broadcast ministry of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. I trust the Lord has blessed you by his word today. If you'd like any more information regarding our ministry, please do visit our website, which you can find at calgaryfpc.ca, calgaryfpc.ca, that's for Free Presbyterian Church. And you can find information about what we believe and what time our services are and our address also. You will also find the archive for all the weekend editions of the Let the Bible Speak radio programs. Do get in touch if you have any questions, need any pastoral care, like a free copy of the Bible, the King James Version. And do remember that we do have our weekday programs at 4:30, Monday to Friday. And the Reverend Ian Gollagher, my colleague, looks after those programs. Our address is 123 Pinetown Place, Northeast, Calgary, T1Y5J1. Office number is 403-285-5050. Our Sunday services are at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m, two separate services. And Tuesdays at 7 p.m, we have our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. You're very welcome to attend. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.